Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you join us today as we spend time around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need.
This time we're going to seek the Lord's face in prayer. Let's pray together. Our loving Father in heaven, we bow before thee reverently today in the name of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for the access that we have to God through the Son. We thank thee for his merit. We thank thee for his life, his death, and his resurrection. We thank thee, O Lord, for the way that's been opened for sinful man to approach a holy God. We praise thee today for the blood that was shed upon the cross of Calvary. It's a power to cleanse from every sin. We thank thee, Lord, for the security that there is in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for those who are saved. He says, no man shall pluck thee out of the Father's hand. We thank thee, Lord, for the goodness of God towards a lost and a fallen world. And we pray today as we open the Word of God, our hearts will be refreshed as we hear the story that is old yet ever new. We pray if there are those watching or listening today who know not Christ as Saviour, we pray, O God, that thou wilt work in their hearts by thy Spirit and bring them to saving faith and knowledge of Christ. We pray, O Lord, that you'll bless our brother Murray as he would minister today. Fill him with thy Spirit, we pray. Give him every word, and may God be glorified in all that takes place in this programme. We ask in our Saviour's precious and worthy name. Amen. We're reading today from Luke's Gospel, chapter 7, and we commence reading at verse number 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence, and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears, and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. Amen. May God bless this reading to your hearts. We're going to sing once again that beautiful hymn, A Debtor to Mercy Alone, Of Covenant Mercy I Sing.
I say it is a joy to be here and to have this opportunity of sharing God's word with you. I want to turn you to Luke's Gospel and to the chapter 7. And we read there in the verse 41 and 42. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me therefore which of them will love him most. In this chapter, we are brought face to face with the very depths of depravity. A young woman forsaking the guide of her youth, she earned the title sinner. In fact, she was notorious for her sin. Entering into the world of immorality, she sold her body for money. She became, as far as many were concerned, one of the untouchables of society. As with the leper, rather than meeting her face to face, many would have crossed over to the other side of the street. Such was the depth of her wickedness that in comparison with the Pharisee, whom the Lord described in verse 41 as a 50-pence sinner, she was a 500-pence sinner. In other words, she was 10 times worse than those whom the Lord had earlier described as whited sepulchres filled with dead men's bones. And while this Pharisee's debt was much less than her debt, nevertheless, he still was a debtor. He owed 50 pence. And while they were from different sides of the town and lived very different lifestyles, they both were debtors. They owed a debt of love and obedience to the Lord. And while we may not all have sinned to the same degree, nevertheless, we are all sinners by description. We owe a debt of love and a debt of righteousness unto the Lord. Indeed, the Apostle Paul, taking up his pen, he wrote in Romans chapter 3 in the verse 23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And you notice here that their crime was coming short. They owed a debt of obedience to the Lord. And while our faces may differ, our hearts in this sense do not differ. We are all sinners or debtors before God. I remember when I was a little boy of 3 or 4 years of age, being in a little dinghy in an outside paddling pool, my brother pulling down the sides of the dinghy and the water beginning to pour in, I began to panic. And panicking, I stood to my feet and I jumped into the water. It was only 4 feet deep, but you know, it might as well have been 50 feet deep because my feet couldn't touch the bottom. Whether I was in 50 feet of water or 4 feet of water really made no difference because I was drowning. And in comparison with your neighbor, you may not have sunk into the depths of sin that they have sunk. Nevertheless, you are still spiritually drowning. You see, whether you describe yourself as a great sinner, or you describe yourself as a medium sinner, or you describe yourself as a small sinner, you are still a sinner. You've broken the law of God. And more than that, you owe God a debt of love, a debt of righteousness, a debt of obedience. And so I want simply to draw your attention for a few moments to these two debtors. I want you to notice firstly here that the Lord, he speaks of their debt. While the Pharisee in another parable, thank God he was not like the publican, yet he is said here to be a 50-pence debtor. While he was unable to see his own debt or see his own sin, yet you notice here that their debt was specific. He said in that verse 41, the one owed 500 pence and the other 50. The reference here is to the Roman penny or to the Roman denarii. While 500 denarii would have been equivalent to 18 months' salary, 50 denarii would have been about 2 months' salary. Even more significant than the extent of their debt was that he knew exactly how much each of them owed. One of them owed 500 pence. The other owed 50 pence. You see, like this creditor, our Heavenly Father is not careless but careful. He knows the exact amount of love and loyalty that you owe to him. Indeed, in the book of Joshua, Achan, disobeying the Lord, he took 200 pieces of silver, 50 wedges of gold, and some garments, and he dug a hole in his tent and he buried them. While Joshua was not aware of his sin and his closest friends were not aware of what he had done, yet the Lord confronting him, he said in Joshua 7 in the verse 11, "Israel has sinned and they have also transgressed my covenant." And the Lord not only saw his sin, but he saw the lust in his heart. He saw the act of theft. He saw his attempt also to deceive. You see, the Lord not only sees our surroundings, but he sees our sin. He notes our every transgression. Have you ever got your bank statement in and looking at the balance, you have almost had a heart attack? You've immediately went and picked up the phone and you've rung the bank manager. Well, you didn't actually say it. You thought to yourself, what is he doing with my money? And then he began to read out all the checks, all the direct debits that you had completely forgotten about. And you had to eat humble pie. And you see, you may have forgotten about the sins of childhood and the sins of your teenage years. You may have forgotten about the sins of your mid-years, but God has not forgotten them. He knows the exact amount of your sin. He has seen every transgression. He knows the love and the obedience that you owe to him. You see, the Lord knows your heart. And as he looks upon you this day, he sees your sin, its exact nature and amount. Not only was their debt specific, but their debt was sizable. Recording its details, we're told in verse 41. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. There was a vast difference between these two individuals' debt. While one owed 10 times less than the other, yet he was not really any better off. You say, how come? Because we're told in the following verse, they had nothing to pay with. They had no savings and no assets to sell. In fact, with the passing of time, the interest would have grown upon their debt. You see, the size of their debt in one sense did not matter because they were unable to pay it off. And you see, as well as being spiritually in debt, you are spiritually insolvent. You have nothing to pay off the debt of your sin with. Indeed, reminding the men of his day of this, the prophet said in Isaiah 64 in the verse 6, all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And you notice here that he was not talking about their unrighteousness, nor was he talking about their righteousness, but he was talking about their righteousnesses, plural. Even their very best sacrifices and their services were but as filthy rags. You see, we are not only spiritually polluted, but we are spiritually penniless. We have nothing to pay off the debt of our sin with. In 2017, almost 100,000 people were declared bankrupt in the United Kingdom. Why? Because no matter how hard they worked or how hard they tried to save, they were unable to pay off their debt. And like those individuals, no matter how hard you try, you cannot pay off the debt of your sin to God. You say, preacher, but what about my good works? What about my churchianity? What about those things that I have done to try to help the helpless? Those things in themselves may be good, but the moment that you trust in those things to make you right before God, they in that moment become as filthy rags. You see, like those 100,000 bankrupts, my spiritually speaking, you are bankrupt. You're a sinner before God. And no matter what you do, you can't pay off that debt. You can't make yourself right before God. But he speaks here not only of their debt, but he speaks of their discharge. Why there was a vast difference between these two individuals' debt, yet making no difference between them. Notice here that he forgave them finally. We're told in verse 42, and when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. He didn't forgive them immediately, but underlined the word when. It was when they realized their debt, when they realized there was nothing they could do to pay that debt. that they were forgiven. And you see, before there can be forgiveness, there must not only be a recognizing, but a revealing of our bankruptcy, and acknowledging before God that there's nothing that we can do to save ourselves. Indeed, the children of Israel, fleeing from the horrors of Egypt, they suddenly found their path blocked by the raging torrents of the Red Sea. The Egyptian armies closing in behind. Moses said in Exodus 14, 13, "Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever." And in standing still, they were acknowledging that there was nothing that they could do to save themselves. In fact, it was then and only then that the waters suddenly, miraculously opened, bringing about their salvation. You see, until you become still, you cannot be saved. There must be that recognizing that there's nothing in your that you can do to save yourself. The hymn writer said, "Nothing in my hand I bring." And until you come to that place in your life when you recognize that you have nothing, nothing to give God, nothing whereby you can save yourself, you cannot be saved. He forgave them not only finally, but notice here, he forgave them fully. Exercising mercy, we read in that verse 42, "And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both." Forgiving these two debtors, he forgave all of their debt. In fact, going on to speak of the 500 pence debtor, in verse 48 he said, "Thy sins are forgiven." And because of the particular tense used here, it could be read, they have been forgiven, they are forgiven, and they stand forgiven. You see, he forgave all of their debt for all time. And you see, in Christ, there is not partial forgiveness, but perfect forgiveness. He forgives all of our sin for all of time. Indeed, the Apostle John, taking up his pen, he wrote in 1 John chapter 1 and the verse 9, "If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." And he reminded them that if only they confessed their sin, he would forgive not part, but all of their sin and all of their unrighteousness. You see, God does nothing by halves. Forgiving our sin, he does not forgive some, S-O-M-E, of it, but he forgives the sum, S-U-M, of it. What would it have benefited this 500 pence debtor if he had been forgiven 9/10 of his debt? He would still have been a 50 pence debtor, and he still would have been condemned. You see, if only you come to Christ, if only you trust him, he will forgive all of your sin. The sins of yesterday, the sins of today, the sins of tomorrow, in a moment, will be taken away. He frankly forgave them. The word there means freely. My without price, if only you come, only acknowledge your guilt, he'll forgive all of your sin for all of time. Then lastly, he speaks here of their devotion. You see, being forgiven, there was now a change. You notice that there was a loving of Christ. Asking Simon which of these two debtors would love the Lord most, he said in verse 43, "I suppose that he to whom he forgave most." And he said unto him, "Thou hast rightly judged." While the one forgiven 500 pence would love him most, yet both of them would still love him. And you see, with God's pardon, there comes a passion, a love for the Lord. In fact, the Lord said in John chapter 8 and the verse 42, if God were your Father, ye would love me. And you see, with eternal life, there comes love, a love for the Savior. If only you come to Christ, if only you trust Him today, the love of God will be shed abroad in your heart. And the more you read the Scripture and the more you go on with God, the more you will love Him with every passing day. Not only was there a loving of Christ, there was a living for Christ. This woman being forgiven, she falling at the Savior's feet. We read in verse 38, she did wipe them with the hairs of her head and kissed His feet and anointed them with the ointment. Previously, she had used this ointment to attract her immoral trade. And now taking that ointment and using it to anoint the Savior's feet, she was making a statement. She was saying, I'm finished with my old life. I'm finished with my sin. And with forgiveness, there comes not only a love for the Savior, but a hatred for sin, a desire to give it up. Paul said, all things pass away and all things become new. God's salvation doesn't merely reform man, it transforms them. It makes them into new creatures with new desires. And if only you come, my, He will save you, He will forgive you, He will cleanse you, and He'll change your heart. I noticed an ad some time ago when it said, debt solved in 24 hours. And in this portion of God's Word, we have something far, far better. You are a debtor, but the debtor of your sin, if only you come to Christ, can be forgiven in a moment. Oh, you are a debtor, you are a sinner, but there's mercy with the Lord. And if only you come, He will forgive and He will change your life. Let us bow in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank Thee that there is mercy with the Lord. We thank Thee that if only men and women come to Thee, that Thou will cleanse them from their sin and give everlasting life. Lord, hide Thy word in each and every heart. And we pray for those who know Thee not, that they might come to know Thy forgiveness. For we pray in Thy name. Amen.
Thank you for spending some time with us today around the Word of God. For further information, visit our website at ltbs.tv. We look forward to joining with you next time as we seek to let the Bible speak once again.